Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're looking at next steps for two of the major ballot questions voters decided on this week. Before the break, we talked about question four, which passed, and now to question two, which failed. That's the charter schools question, the referendum which would have allowed the state to approve up to 12 new charter schools per year. Now, question two was seen as a proving ground for the national charter school movement, and both sides spent an enormous sum of money on the campaign, a record more than $40 million, the most on any single ballot question in Massachusetts history. The referendum, however, was rejected by voters, 62% to 38% across the state. But, you know, that does not mean the debate over charter schools is over, nor are the deeper issues about public school funding in Massachusetts. So in a moment, we're going to hear from the president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, Barbara Mataloni. But first, let's speak with one of the key groups that supported question two. He's Mark Kennan, and he's the executive director of the Massachusetts Charter Public School Association. Mark Kennan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So the Yes on Two folks spent more than $24 million in support of question two, and yet the vote went down nearly 2-1 across the state. What do you think Massachusetts voters are trying to say?
Well, we heard a message from our voters across the state that they actually have strong support for charter schools. They appreciate the work we're doing. They recognize the work we're doing, but they aren't prepared to support a major expansion of our schools at this time.
And so what does that mean then in terms of next steps for your association and for charter schools in Massachusetts?
Well, as you know, our 70 Commonwealth charter schools are some of the best public schools, not only in the state, but in the country. And so, of course, our first and most important step is to continue to do the work that we do every day with our students and families. After that, it's about trying to figure out how we can help the 32,000 families who are on our waiting list, 12,000 of whom are in Boston. So we're looking now to join forces with the legislature, the governor, and the teachers union to try to figure out other strategies if the charter school expansion is not going to be happening right now to help these families who are desperately in need of alternative public education choices.
Do you have ideas on what could specifically be done?
Well, we're actually, to be honest, looking towards Barbara Mataloni and the MTA and the legislature for those ideas. If you remember, during the Yes on Two campaign, the teachers union was adamant that we need to fix district schools before we have an expansion of charter schools. And so we're going to take them at that word, and we're hoping that they have a comprehensive plan that not just about new money for public education, though we strongly support that, but the reforms necessary to make our district schools, particularly in our urban communities, more effective for families who need these public education choices.
Mark Kennan, let's step back here for just a second, because this fight was so divisive. It was so expensive. It got so much national attention. I wonder, does anyone who amongst the leadership of Yes on Two wonder now if going to the ballot was the wrong thing to do?
Well, as you know, this was a desperation move on our part. It was the last-ditch effort that we had because we tried for two consecutive legislative sessions over 4 years to get a charter cap lift in the legislature, which is where we thought it belonged. And both times over the last 4 years, we were rebuffed by the teachers union and the state senate, who would not come up with a bill that was acceptable to the House and the governor. So we were stuck. So we certainly had trepidation about going to the ballot. We knew it was going to be a very difficult fight for us, especially against the well-funded and well-resourced teachers union. So we don't have regrets about it, but we weren't surprised by the fact that we failed at this attempt.
Just as point of fact, though, the Yes on Two side was also very well-resourced. You spent $10 million more than No on Two.
Yes.
So, I mean, I just don't understand the point of saying that the teachers union was well-resourced when both sides of the charter school debate did spend enormous amounts of money.
Well, it's not just about financial resources. It's about human resources as well. The teachers union, the No on Two campaign, ran an excellent grassroots campaign. The MTA has over 110,000 members in every city and town, and they were able to galvanize those members in those cities and towns to work on a grassroots basis. So it's not just about the total total dollar figure you bring to the campaign. These campaigns are about a lot more than dollars. It's about your base, and their base overwhelmed us in the field, and that is one of the reasons that we were not successful.
Mark Kennan, you're right to point out that this debate was in the legislature, and I would say it belongs in the legislature. And you did point out that, yes, the Senate, in terms of the RISE Act, for example, which was up this year, presented a bill that was unacceptable to the House. However, I'm curious, I mean, does it not behoove charter school activists to encourage the House, to encourage Speaker Robert DeLeo to present a bill that it likes and then send it back to the Senate and hash it out in some kind of conference committee? I mean, why is it that, like, it's a take it or leave it in terms of what comes out of the state Senate?
Well, you remember the previous legislative session, the reverse happened. The House did pass the bill first. That was a compromise bill that had the support of the governor and the charter school community, and they sent that over to the Senate, and the Senate rejected it. And then when the last legislative session happened, the reverse happened. The Senate started the bill first, and they passed the bill that the House then wouldn't take up. So we have deadlock around charter schools in the state legislature, and we're going to continue to have that deadlock, unfortunately, about charter schools in the legislature. So we are saying, and we are calling on legislators as well as the union, that we need to put aside the charter school battle for now. This does not belong in the legislature right now because it's not going to get anywhere. We're just going to have more gridlock, and it's going to distract from the other education agenda that we all have, which is to how to improve our district schools and urban communities that are failing our families.
Yeah,
that's
so,
the issue.
So this is an excellent point, and honestly, anyone who's been following my Twitter feed lately knows that it's completely my hobby horse, and that is, what is it not time for education advocates and state leaders on Beacon Hill to take a serious, good faith look at improving funding for all Massachusetts schools? I mean, is that something that charter school advocates can and will put their considerable resources and lobbying expertise? Can you throw your weight behind that?
We can definitely throw our weight behind a comprehensive proposal to improve funding for all public education. We look forward to working with our colleagues in the public education system, in the legislature, to do that. However, that cannot be used as a Trojan horse to try to get at the funding and reduce the funding for charter schools. And so that as long as the union and the state senate is using that cloak of trying to improve funding for all of public education to cut our funding, then that we will not get anywhere. So we're hoping that there's a real honest intent by both the legislative state senate and the union to work with us to come up with a proposal that would help all public education, all public schools, and not to the detriment of ours.
Well, Mark Kennan is executive director of the Massachusetts Charter Public School Association. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear from the Massachusetts Teachers Association. They were the biggest opponents of ballot question 2, and MTA President Barbara Mataloni joins us now. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, first of all, let me just start off with the question that I began with when I spoke to Mark Kennan, and that is, what do you think Massachusetts voters said when they voted down question 2?
Well, what I heard in all the doors I knocked and the phone calls that I had and what we heard in our powerful grassroots movement, the thing that moved me most was that people in the Commonwealth really deeply value their public schools. It was amazing to me. I would talk to people who had a child in the charter school, but they said, I don't want that to keep our public schools from flourishing. And there's a sort of amazing deep commitment and valuing of public schools. And so I think this is a message that says we value our public schools. We don't want to see those destabilized by loss of funds. And in fact, because this was part of our message as well, we want to fully fund our schools. This campaign informed people about really what we need for our public schools and that we need more resources. So I think we're ready to say, let's fully fund our public schools. Let's look at the foundation budget. This has been a distraction from the foundation budget commission recommendations. I think we're ready to do that.
Well, so we're going to get to that in a second. But and I don't necessarily want to quibble about the numbers in terms of how many students are on charter school waiting lists. I don't want to quibble about the numbers. Let's just accept the fact that there are many students who are still on a waiting list for charter schools, meaning that in certain districts, there continues to be a demand. Now, many of those families would say, we're going to have to keep waiting. I just wonder what your message is for those particular families who still see charter schools as the best option for their children and consider what happened with Question 2 as a major setback for them.
I understand that they experience it that way. And I think we have to address through conversations and through community conversations about why people feel that way. One of the things that I would really like to see come out of this is for communities to gather in conversations about not only how can we resource our public schools, but before that, what do we want for our public schools? What do we want them to look like? What's a high-quality public education look like in your community? We haven't had that conversation. As a matter of fact, it's been assumed that that's about test scores and this hyper-accountability system. But when I talk to parents about what they want for their children, they don't talk about test scores. So I think there's a democratic process that we need to engage in to bring communities together to begin to talk about this. And that's what I'd like to see happen.
You know, this debate, as I pointed out with Mark Kennan, I haven't seen a question that was as divisive as this one in quite some time. But moving forward, I personally refuse to believe that compromise isn't possible. I mean, it was compromise that began the charter school experiment to begin with, which was a good thing. So let me put something to you that Governor Baker said just yesterday. He was asked about Question 2 failing, and he said that state leaders need to do more work to close the achievement gap. And then he pointed out that, quote, maybe this means we need to do more of the empowerment zone type approach that have been pursued in Springfield, or maybe we need to do some things to lengthen the school day. But we're going to have conversations about this to make sure we continue to work on it. So, for example, the empowerment zone idea, it's a partnership between Springfield Public Schools and the Springfield Teachers Union and the state. 8 schools involved. They're allowed to make their own decisions on hiring, scheduling, budgeting, and curriculum, but they're within the district. I mean, is that something that the MTA could maybe support?
There are other ideas out there that are really powerful. And the one that I think we should be talking about are community schools. The Alliance to Reclaim Our Schools is a national organization that really has been looking deeply at how to use our schools as community centers. So that when we're talking about extended day, we're not talking about extended like math and English for MCAS scores, but we're actually talking about the school as a center for enrichment opportunities, for the arts, for sports. Community schools as places where services are available for families that are struggling. I think that's the way that we need to go. That's really about bringing people in and together and empowering the parents. Because one of the things that we saw really clearly in this No One Two campaign is that the parents want to talk about and have a voice in what's happening in public education. The parents on the No One Two side in Boston were amazing. They did so much of the legwork, knocking on doors and talking to other parents, bringing people in. That's the model that I'd like to see. And not have the governor decide now that there's one model that we're going to use. There are other models out there that are much more empowering for everybody who's a part of the process.
Yeah, I think he was just suggesting as Springfield as a place to look at for some ideas. But Barbara Maddaloni, let me ask you, the MTA spent some $8 million of the roughly $14 million that No One Two put out to defeat Question 2. Sizable amount, and as Mark Kennan pointed out, and you're talking about right now, a statewide grassroots effort, knocking on doors in almost every city and town in this state. Can that organizational ability, that lobbying muscle, that money, can and will it be put towards focusing like a laser on Beacon Hill to take care of the more fundamental funding challenges we have in K-12? You pointed at the foundation budget, right? That's the equation that the state uses to decide how much each city and town ought to be spending on public education. Hasn't been updated in 23 years. Is the MTA going to make that a priority?
The MTA has had that as a priority for years and has been one of our priority legislative pieces. We were instrumental in having the Foundation Budget Review Commission meet. So we've already had that going. What happened last year is that the charter expansion threat distracted us completely. On November 2nd, the commission that I was a part of made recommendations that said public education is being underfunded by about $1 billion
a year. Well, they said it was a moral obligation for the state to do something about it.
And 16 days later, the Great Schools Massachusetts held their big event in the Commons to say this is going to be about expanding charter schools. They came at us with a civil lawsuit. They said then we're going to spend $18 million. So it's been, actually, I was talking to someone today, it's been like a painful distraction because I want to work on the foundation budget. I want to work on more funding. I want to work on really imagining what a school can look like in every community, but in particular in our communities where we're serving Black and brown children who need to have curriculum that sees them reflected in it, that has staff that looks like them. Like, there's work that we should be doing that's really pedagogical work and curriculum work. And we're being distracted by the charter schools, and we're being distracted by a hyper-accountability system that really narrows the conversation about what we want children to be experiencing in the classroom.
So let me
every
ask you, will you then now focus on getting the foundation budget review commission's suggestions across the finish line? I mean, it could be in a budget, in the fiscal 18 budget, if state lawmakers deem it so.
Absolutely. And it should be. And that's our commitment. That's been our commitment from the beginning. This is not something new for us. We're also part of the Raise Up Massachusetts Coalition that's working on the Fair Share Amendment. You know, we have been committed to that. We have to do that. We also have to really work on the accountability regime, because the accountability regime with the high stakes testing focus is a key part of undermining the quality of experience that young people are having, in particular in our so-called level 3, 4, and 5 schools.
We've just got under a minute to go, and I want to ask you one last question, because again, I return to this issue of every time I think of either side of the question to fight, because it doesn't seem like anyone was, or maybe even currently still is, in a mood to compromise even a tiny bit. So as we move forward in this state, say a compromise bill comes up that does allow for the addition of a couple charter schools where the demand is highest. Would the MTA even fight that?
First of all, you need to understand demand is highest. We won this in all but 16 communities.
But answer my question.
But no, I'm going to get there.
Are you going to resist charter schools?
Let me get there. So if Wellesley that voted for this wants it, if Concord that voted for this wants it, or Lincoln, that's where the high demand is. Here's the thing.
Based on the vote, but what about where the students who are on the waiting list?
There's no reason to have a conversation about a cap lift now. Absolutely no reason. We need to fully fund our public schools. That's what we need to do.
Barbara Mattaloni, she's president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
We'll be continuing this conversation.
I'm sure we will.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.